Hello and welcome back to Aliens, UFOs, and Ghost Stories, a podcast dedicated to seekers. If you have a story that you'd like to share, the best way to get a hold of me is through email. My email is aliens, UFOs, and ghost stories at yahoo.com.
Whatsoever beings exist throughout all galaxies, it doesn't make any difference. You are all of them. And when they come into being, that's you coming into being. You know that very well.
Hello and welcome back to Aliens, UFOs, and Ghost Stories. Today I am honored to be joined by Sev Tok. Sev, would you like to say hi?
Hello, everybody. I am honored to be here with all of you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. I'm really excited to introduce you to our audience who might not already know you. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I am an experiencer. I'm an author and a speaker. And I'm also an experiencer advocate. I'm also a spiritual counselor. And I've been having ET contact since I was a little girl. My first conscious memories are from age 10. And I just hid all of it for decades. I've come in contact with a variety of beings who've given me messages. And I just hid it, denied it, until 2017. When I moved here to the Inner Banks of North Carolina, I made contact. Two red X's were put on my back, and that made me come out. That was a very pivotal moment in my life. And when I finally came out through my book, You Have the Right to Talk to Aliens, and that completely changed my life. And so now I've dedicated my time to helping experiencers around the world, and also helping people with the spiritual sessions and the spiritual readings that I do. And I am the assistant state director for MUFON for the state of North Carolina. I'm also on the experiencer resource team for MUFON, also known as the ERT. And the ERT is a really special group of people. There's about 50 or 60 of us around the world. And we're in MUFON, and we deal only with people who've made direct contact with an otherworldly being. And this work is fascinating and it's very rewarding. And the messages that are given to the experiencers are very, very valuable. So I go around the country or the world speaking at conferences, doing interviews, and I share these profound messages that the ETs are giving us. These are messages of warnings and messages of hope. They're very beautiful messages and they're very timely. And they're helping us transform through their messages. They're hoping that we don't annihilate ourselves. It's not too late, but we're on the path, but it's not too late. And so we all know that Earth is a really weird place right now. There's so much, feels like erupting, feels like everything is erupting. It's a very important time. And this is why the ETs are making contact with us at such an important time.
Yeah, and I strongly encourage you guys to go find her book. You can find it on Amazon paperback. There's also, it's also available on Kindle. Is it available on Audible?
Not yet. I've been meaning to do that because I want to do it. I want to read it. Mm-hmm. And I have the microphone and the setup and everything, and I just haven't done it yet, but it's on my list.
Okay. But yeah, I strongly encourage you guys to go get it. It's really, really good. And another fun fact about Sev, you actually have a planet named after you in the Star Wars universe. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Many years ago, my best friend Cecilia was dating a writer. And he got a job writing a short story for Star Wars. And he said to me, Sev Tok, I like your name. I'm going to name a planet after you. And I thought he was kidding. And the story comes out. And there I am, the Sev Tok planet and star system. And I'm even in Wikipedia. And several months ago, if anybody watches the Star Wars show Andor, They actually mentioned my planet on that show on Andor. I got a lot of emails. It was really fun.
That is so cool.
Yeah, so my friend did me a huge, huge favor. I feel like I'm going to live for eternity through Star Wars.
Yeah, that's a great honor. So I'm sure, I know you've told us many times over. Do you mind just telling us a little bit about your early on experiences and maybe what made you come out kind of and share your story?
So you'd like to know my early experiences, did you say?
Yeah, that's typically how we kind of go chronological. But if there's, I know that you've told a few over and over. So if there's any part of it that you'd like to skip over, that's fine too.
Thank you. That's okay. Well, I'd like to talk about my conscious memories. I've had regression twice, and I believe regression is very, very helpful and an amazing experience. But I, for personal reasons, prefer to talk about my conscious memories of ET contact. And so that started at age 10. And that went on for a couple of years. This is when I was living in the Washington, D.C. area. So I was born in Istanbul, Turkey. And when I was a baby, my parents and I emigrated from Istanbul to Montreal, Canada, where my sister was born. And then we came to the D.C. area, and that's where I grew up. And so at the time I was living in the suburb called Crofton, which is pretty close to Annapolis. And this is fifth grade. This went on from fifth to seventh grade. And at night, after I went to sleep, I would find myself outside standing on the grass, and I would see a spaceship coming. And each time it would come from a different direction. And it would come right over me. It would hover right over me. And it was so big that it blocked out the sky. I could see the bottom of it. And each time I was so happy, 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 because it felt like I was reuniting with a family member. Mm. And the ship would land and stairs would descend and he would walk down and we would talk. And I loved seeing him. And he was just checking up on me. He was making sure I was okay. And I made a drawing of him or a graphic of him. He was more human looking than not. The only difference I really saw were his ears were just slightly elongated, but not anything like Spock. And he had dark hair and he had on a dark outfit. I don't know if it was one piece or two pieces. And he was pretty young, 20s or 30s. And he was just making sure I was okay. And each time he came, like I said, I'd be out there waiting, coming from a different direction. We'd talk, make sure I'm okay. And then when the visit was done, I would find myself back in my bedroom and my eyes would just pop open. And this is how it is after my experiences. It feels like I'm dropped back into reality in my bedroom and my eyes just pop open. I'm fully alert. There's no grogginess, there's no sleepiness, there's nothing. I am completely alert. And I was confused because my room didn't feel like it was as real as the experience I just had with that being. That felt real. My life in the room did not feel real. And so I would tell myself, all right, you just have to forget about it and get dressed and go to fifth grade and try to be normal. And I could have told my parents, but I didn't. I don't know why. They were complete believers. I just didn't. I hid this a secret for decades. So the last time, the very last visit was different. I was around 12. And this time I was with a group of kids and I had never been with other kids before. And we were lined up and we were watching the ship fly away. And we were really, really sad, because we knew he was going away and we weren't going to see him. And I heard in my head, okay, it's time to get to work, get your work done. And at the time, I had no idea what that meant. But now I think I'm understanding that a little better.
Hmm. Yeah, that's really fascinating. I've heard that before. And one detail, I guess I may have forgotten, was seeming to come wake up outside. That's something I've heard quite a bit. just out of curiosity, were you laying down in the grass? Were you standing up and just kind of confused?
I was just standing up waiting. I wasn't confused. I was just standing there waiting, like, oh yeah, okay, here he comes. Yeah, great. I was so happy.
Wow. Yeah, it's really fascinating. And then I guess, how did it evolve from there?
Well, I kept that a secret. So I'm 12 years old. What is that? Like around seventh grade or something. And then it switched much more to paranormal, supernatural. I had made a lot of contact with a variety of beings. And I also knew things about people that I shouldn't really not logically know. Mm-hmm. Now, were these psi abilities strengthened by the ETs or vice versa? I don't know. But usually there is a correlation between ET, an abduction or contact, and strengthened psi abilities. They do go hand in hand, almost always. Mm. And I was just pretty much ignoring the aliens because I was so scared of them. I was, especially the Greys. I didn't have any conscious memory of meeting the Greys, but I was scared to death of them. I couldn't watch a movie about them. I couldn't read any books about them. I took one look at Whitley Strieber's book, Communion, and I'm like, I can never look at that cover again. Mm-hmm. And so it's not like I read a lot of stories and I knew a lot of stories about experiencers. I knew nothing. I wanted to know nothing, because it just scared the hell out of me. Mm-hmm. And then after my second divorce, I was in Baltimore, Maryland. I was living in this really cool loft apartment that was kind of away from hustle and bustle, like amongst the trees. And the ET stuff started back up again. So this would have been 2012. Mm. And that's when I was shown a baby in a tube. That's when I would feel beings touching me. I would have downloads of information. Then I moved into another apartment and it's continued there. I was living down the street, but in Baltimore, there was a lot going on, a lot. And I was just hiding it. I didn't want my clients to know about this. I didn't want anyone to know. And then I met a gentleman who worked at the Navy Yard in Washington, D.C. He was managing this very special, radar defense system. And so we had to live on the island of Kauai in Hawaii for a year to do that. But in the meantime, we lived on Capitol Hill, Washington, D.C. And I had an experience with him in Roswell that shook us both up. And I was given information about the hybridization program. And when I got the two X's on my back, I was with him. And he didn't understand any of it. He was very logical, very, very logical person, but very, very supportive. And so when I got the two X's on my back, and I'll tell you that story, that's what woke me up, because that's when I realized this isn't a dream, because I'm like, ah, those were all dreams. It was just my imagination. I would have these weird geometric shapes on my body. Oh, look at that bug bit me in a perfect triangle. Isn't that funny? Or I had a scoop of skin missing in a scoop, not a drop of blood, not a scab. I didn't even feel it. Not even a scab. And I'm like, oh, isn't that interesting? Okay, I'll just ignore that. I just, the lights in the hallway, everything, ignored everything. But these two red X marks, they made me face it. And that's when I found Kathleen Martin, who helped me out a lot. And now she's my friend and my mentor. And she endorsed my book. I'm so, so grateful. And all the things I was afraid of, none of them happened. I was so afraid of coming out all those decades. I was afraid people would think I'm crazy. I'm going to lose my friends. I'm going to lose family. My clients are going to drop me. This could be the end of my life. And none of that happened. Maybe people think I'm crazy, but they don't tell me to my face. And if anything, it was the best thing I've ever done. Now I get to help experiencers around the world. And so you can contact me personally through my website, planetsev.com, and fill out a few questions and I'll respond to you. or you can contact MUFON and tell us what happened.
Yeah, that's really cool. And again, if you guys missed that, it's going to be in the links below, but that's planetsev.com. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm curious. I've been meaning to ask more of our guests this, but going public for me was pretty difficult. You know, I think I kind of knew something was going on in my early 30s, but I really only shared that with one person, my sister. I'm curious what was the final, you know, straw that broke the camel's back that made you decide to go public?
Well, it was the two exes, but when the two exes happened, I still hadn't decided to go public. When I was talking with Kathy Martin for the very, very first time, I said, what am I supposed to do with all the information the Grays have given me? Because they've given me telepathic, a lot of information. Mm-hmm. And she said, I can't tell you that, so that's something you have to figure out. So I just told myself, I have no idea what I'm going to do. I have no plans on coming out. I was still very afraid. And then I don't know what happened. 2 months later, I woke up one morning and I declared, I'm writing a book and I'm going to call it You Have the Right to Talk to Aliens. Mm-hmm. And I sat down that day and I started writing it. And I wrote it in a couple months. And I don't know what happened that night, but that's exactly how it happened. Because when I went to sleep that night before, I was not thinking about writing a book.
Yeah. And then I'm curious too, and has anyone else in your family, extended family, cousins, aunts, have they ever felt or you know, felt like something was going on with themselves, or have they ever witnessed an orb or say a UFO?
A couple of my cousins saw a UFO in Crofton when we were younger, when we were kids. My mom and my sister and my father are psychic. And they always get information. I was told that my parents and my sister were visited, and my mom wasn't interested, and my sister was too scared. And my dad was seeing it more from a spiritual perspective than an ET perspective. And so I seemed to be the only one in the family that was really interested. So that's why most of the activity was happening with me. But my parents and my sister were very plugged into the supernatural world themselves. They were having fascinating experiences themselves, but they wouldn't have categorized, they don't categorize it as ET. Maybe it was, but they don't.
Yeah, I often hear that. A lot of the times, people say that it's familial, like it's generational, you know, it's just more or less like the lineage of a family. Mm-hmm. So now that you've had time to think about it and you've talked to so many different experiencers, you know, like Indy, our friend Indy, how do you make sense of the hybridization program? And I suppose, why do you think it's taking place? And these baby presentation things, I've had one myself. Do you think that that's just a way of them making sure that they bond properly with, you know, their mother or their father, or whatever it may be?
In some cases, yes. I was asked to heal very sickly hybrid babies, but that was more in a MILAB environment. Mm. So I've had hybrid baby experience with other human beings. They're acting like doctors, which was a weird experience. It was, I can tell you about that too. And then when I was shown the baby in the tube, I had three Grays standing behind me, tall, medium, and short. And this is before I knew that they even came in different sizes. And they were very nice. And they said to me, we're just going to hang out back here while you look at that baby in the tube and just take your time, no hurry. And I turned around and looked at that baby in the tube. I'm like, what on earth? I didn't feel anything for it. It was this tall tube, about as tall as I am, about as wide as I am. I was in a dark room. And towards the top of the tube was a baby floating in there. And its eyes were open. And it was the bluest eyes I have ever seen in my life. And even though its legs were situated that I couldn't tell what sex it was, I just intuitively knew it was a boy. And just floating in this liquid that's like luminescent, kind of bluish. And I felt nothing, absolutely nothing for it. I was so confused. So fast forward to Roswell, I had a very, very unexpected spur of the moment trip to Roswell, which was very exciting because I've always wanted to go with my ex Patrick. That was in 2016. And something really weird happened. And I was given information. Something weird happened to him, something weird happened to me. And I was also given information about the hybridization program. And they reminded me of the baby in the tube. And they said that there are actually billions of embryos, millions of people are involved. This is the hybridization program. I can only speak about the one that I'm familiar with, which is between humans and grays. There could be others, but this is the only one I know. And they said that for the most part, they're choosing human beings that are very empathetic and sympathetic and pretty much wear their heart on their sleeve. Also people who tend to have a strong psi or psychic abilities. And these embryos that they've created will be used to reseed this planet if we kill ourselves off. Mm. And I was told we're on the path, but it's not destined. It's not too late. We can turn around, but we're headed there.
So did you perceive that as they were referring to possibly like a nuclear war or something along those lines, or maybe just being too involved in technology?
They weren't specific. And but when they did say it to me, what was going through my head was a combination of many things, not just one. War. Many types of war, the war that we have now, a nuclear war, any kind of can't drink the water anymore. I mean, there's so many things that are happening. Can't eat the fish out of the water anymore. Just it's just a combination of many, many things.
Mm. Yeah, I've heard that a few times with experiencers where they're getting communication or a download, a telepathic thought voice that said that, you know, we're headed in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
But if we could circle back quickly to MyLabs, for anybody, any new listeners, we do have a lot of young listeners. MyLab is just a military abduction. Mm-hmm. If you guys want to go back to, I think the season one, a guy named Rafael Lugo, him and his whole entire family were involved in a MyLab. And, why do you think, these MyLabs are taking place and what role does the government seem to have in this? It's all a bit confusing.
It's a mystery. So I have several conscious MyLab experiences. The very, 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 very first one happened the very night that I talked with Kathy Martin for the first time. And I find that interesting. Because I had expressed to Kathy in my conversation, I said, Kathy, I'm afraid to come out because I'm afraid of the government. And then shortly after we talked, I called up my mom. And as I'm talking to her, the landline phone went dead. I'm like, oh my God, it's the government. They know me. And then I had the MyLab experience that night. So I've had the five or six that I can remember. One of them was absolutely horrible. Horrible, very hard for me to talk about. A couple of them were and a couple of them were neutral. But I've never heard of anyone say, oh, I had such a lovely MyLab experience. I don't think that exists. Somehow when humans get involved, everything just gets really shitty. So I believe the government, I don't even know if this is government. I don't know who this clandestine group of people are that is doing this. I don't know if it's government or a part of government, another government, I don't know. The men that I come in contact with during MyLab are speaking English and they look American. Mm. But I was about to say something before that. I can't remember. What was I going to say about MyLab? I believe that the government or whoever it is knows who the experiencers are, and many of us are debriefed. And I think that's what's happening. These are debriefings. And sometimes they want us to do things with our abilities that we have that we don't want to do, which is what happened to me. And then they torture you. It's just not good. Mm. So one of the experiences, I was with two human beings. It was a male doctor and a female nurse. And they handed me this baby to heal. And it was wrapped up in a lot of cloth. And it was spitting up blood. So I put my hands on it and I was trying to heal it. And then they brought me another baby to heal. This one had dark hair and it started rolling off the table. And so I grabbed it by the cloth and then I saw its body and it had like this super, super skinny neck and super, super skinny arms. And I went, and then that's all I remember. I don't remember anything after that. So I have all these questions now. Okay, what kind of hybridization program was that? Was that human beings trying to have a hybridization program with grays? And since they're not as advanced as ETs, they're making these sickly hybrid babies. Are one of those babies mine? I don't know. I didn't feel anything for it. As opposed to the hybridization program with just the grays, where they're more advanced and you don't seem to have these sickly hybrids going on. How many hybrid programs are there? And do human beings keep getting involved in stuff to like mess it up for nefarious reasons?
Hmm. Yeah, it's all that's the one I've really been trying to focus on and research more about, because I feel like I have a pretty good understanding of experiencers and what they are going through. But yeah, the MyLabs have just been so hard to kind of pin down and make sense of. Mary Rodwell did a pretty good job of breaking it down for me, and so did you. So thank you for doing that. Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about your soul sessions?
Oh, yes. I've been doing these for about 13 years now, and it's interdimensional information that comes through for my client. Right now I do them Zoom. I'm happy to do them in person too, but right now it's mostly Zoom because I have clients around the world. And what comes through is information. Well, first of all, I don't want to know anything about you. I don't even want to know why you want a session. Like, I want nothing. So your face appears on the screen and we start right away. And I start writing down information that I can hear, feel, and see. Just like you can, we can all get this information. It just takes practice. That's it. And I write it all down. It's about 6 to 8 pages worth of information about my client that I then email to them. And what comes through is why they're here, their purpose, how they can manifest it if they want to, what their best career paths are, past life that explains something that's going on now. And also one or two mental belief patterns that we have, we all have them, that just keep us from progress or success. So we talk about a couple of those. You might already know about them, you might not. We talk about how you could alleviate them or maneuver around them. So basically a soul purpose reading is like a blueprint to help you activate, manifest your purpose so you can be your most fulfilled and the happiest version of yourself. That's what the sessions are like. And then after the first soul purpose reading, you can have several support sessions after that.
Hmm. Okay. And I'll tell you a quick story. I try not to talk too much, but it involves Indy, our mutual friend. And long story short, essentially what happened was I brought her on as a guest. I first heard her again on UFO Chronicles. And she had a very emotional story that, you know, really hit home for me because we have some similarities. And I had stopped doing the podcast altogether for about 10 or 11 months. I went through a really deep depression. And out of nowhere, again, I've not thought about this for nearly a year, I had this nagging feeling that I was supposed to contact Indy specifically. I don't know why, but I started feeling, I don't know, almost like concerned about her. I just had this nagging feeling I was supposed to call her. And when I did, I couldn't get a hold of her. And it looked like she kind of had disappeared from social media a little bit. And, you know, I kind of forgot about it for a day. And then it was like every day for 3 days, I just had this feeling I was supposed to contact her. And I finally did get a hold of her. But before I did that, at the time I was fishing a lot, and telepathically, I thought I was, you know, speaking to my spirit guides or whoever could hear me. I was just saying, hey, if you guys want me to contact her so bad, you're going to have to give me a sign. You know, I don't want to see a UFO. I don't want to see an alien in my room. I want you to either show me an owl in the wild or let me hear one. And then, yeah. So I called her. We spoke for an hour and a half. She helped me get through a lot of really important things that I've not really shared a whole lot with the listeners, but she helped me out tremendously. And then I pack up, I go back home. The moment I get in my backyard, I'm calling my friend from Wyoming, a fellow experiencer, and he says hello. And the moment he says hello, it's obnoxiously loud. It's like, whoo, whoo, whoo. And he goes, is that an effing owl? And before I even responded, I ran. I got my wife to come outside. You know, it was dusk. You see, you know, you can still kind of see. I was like, what is that? And she's like, that's an owl. I'm like, well, where is it?
Oh.
It sounded like it was, you know, in the tree right next to our house.
Oh.
And it wasn't there. There was no owl. Oh. You know, we turned the floodlights on. You know, I have a very good eyes for owls. I've seen, what is it? No, it's 17 owls in 15 months. It just turned 15 months now. And the only reason I know that is because I write them down every time I see them.
17?
In a little over a year, yeah.
So do you know Mike Cleland?
Yeah, he was actually our last interview on Saturday.
Oh, he was? Oh, that's wonderful. I really like him.
Oh, I love that guy. Yeah, we spoke for a little over 2 hours. And I think even the first time, I think we spoke for 2.5. He's helped me understand this whole owl connection quite a bit. Have you had anything with owls?
Yes, I have had some interesting things with owls. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. Not a white one, though. I have not come across a white owl.
Either have I. Did they seem to be connected in any way to your experience or not really?
It didn't feel like it. Like when I would see one fly in front of me, one time I was outside on the deck just in the middle of the day in Baltimore City in the middle of the day talking to my girlfriend, and all of a sudden her eyes get really big and she's a bird watcher. I'm like, what happened? She goes, an owl just flew right over your head. And I'm like, what? I didn't even feel it. I didn't even hear it. Nothing. It was weird.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's funny that you say right over your head. So on Saturday, it's about, what is that? A little over 2 weeks now, during a CE5, I've already told the story, so I'll tell it really, really quick. We were doing a CE5. My sister was sitting next to me, and very quietly, I said, hey, if you hear or see an owl, that is my intention for this meditation. And I just want you to know in case it does happen, so everybody will believe me. And then we were 5 minutes into it, I got very emotional. At the time, I had an owl at my house that I was rehabbing, which I've never done before.
Wow.
And then an owl flew directly over my head about 12 or 15 feet up, and about one third of us saw it. Yeah. So
wow.
I think it's interesting that you said that it flew over your head.
Yeah, right smack over my head. I didn't even feel it or hear the wings or anything, but she said it was really close. But you know, the stories of people seeing like 4 foot tall white owls like in the middle of the road, that kind of stuff, I haven't experienced that.
Yeah, I've never witnessed the white one either. I have seen one grayish one, which was odd because like a grayish white feather, which I don't believe there's many of, if at all. But yeah, Indy's helped me quite a bit, and she's expressed off air, of course, how much you helped her. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah, she's delightful, and she's really come a long way too. I remember the first time we talked to now she's doing interviews and helping people. And that's a success story when you can process it like that. Not that everybody who wants help as an experiencer has to write a book or has to do interviews. But I am telling you from personal experience and from talking to thousands of experiencers, the most important thing in order to get a handle on this, and you want to process this, because if you don't, it really messes up all areas of your life because you're living a lie. The first thing to do is to come out to yourself. So just go, okay, I accept this is real. I'm not going to deny it anymore. I'm going to try not to fear it anymore either. I'm just going to try and understand it, because there's a reason this is happening. This is not a fluke. This is not by accident. What am I supposed to do with the knowledge that I am gaining from this experience? It's to, and I say this in quotation marks, better me. How is this making me more aware? How is this changing my perspective? How is this helping me become more fulfilled, more peaceful? That's what these messages and these sightings do. And how can I use this crazy, crazy event to be a more fulfilled human? And these events are amazing. They're the most amazing event a human being can have. And here we are hiding it, embarrassed about it. It's remarkable. I'm like, oh, I don't want to talk to anybody. And so that's why I'm coming out. I don't want people to be embarrassed by it anymore. It's nothing to be embarrassed about. It's amazing. It's glorious. It's fantastic. Now, when I wrote the book, the social atmosphere was much different than it is now. It's really amazing. In just a few short years, you can turn on the TV and there's a UFO story and nobody bats an eyelash anymore. Mm-hmm. That wasn't like that when the book first came out. I'm very grateful for those changes.
Hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I remember the first thing that really shook me was when I turned 21, and I told my immediate family, but that was it. I wouldn't tell anybody anything. So it does. It takes a lot of guts to come out and talk about that stuff. And even after that, I mean, so I was 21 then. So it took me another 13 years to even start to, you know, I started the podcast and I told them I kind of had a little stuff going on. But, you know, over the years, I've just been able to talk more and more about it.
That's wonderful. And your family, were they supportive?
My sister is, for sure. And as a whole, like right now, as it stands, because of all these confirmations with owls, they definitely believe it more. So yeah, they're a lot more supportive than, you know.
Because of the owls? Okay.
Pretty much, yeah. Like even my friends who, you know, I have some very left-brained friends who are very logical. Even now, they're like, well, I don't know how to explain that. So yeah. I was just grateful that it happened in a huge group of people. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, that's nice. So that's really good that you're getting them to scratch their heads and to ponder a little bit, think outside their box, mm-hmm. which is what we're doing, which is why you and I do the same kind of work. This is mm-hmm. what we're doing. Often experiencers have this driving need to talk about this and to help mm-hmm. people become happier, help mankind if we can. And this is a very common feeling amongst experiencers. It's a feeling bigger than me, bigger than you, and you can't not do it. You just can't not do it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for me, I mean, that's exactly why I'm doing this. I don't ever plan on, you know, becoming a millionaire or anything like that, really. I mean, it has little to do with money. It's, you know, no. I just, the reason I do it is because I saw how good, you know, Nick Hunter was doing with helping people. I saw, you know, the thing is, like, when I came out to my immediate family and friends, you know, not all of them, but most of them just kind of snickered, or some of them even laughed me out of room, and that broke my heart. So I thought if I could, you know, have this platform where I could bring on people who, you know, made it a little bit more normal to talk about these things, that, you know, some small way I'd be doing my part.
Yes. Well, you're doing a big part. Thank you for what you're doing. Very, very grateful. It's important what you're doing.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done. I mean, just like I mentioned a couple times before, like with you helping, you know, our friend, she helped me, and now I'm ready to help the next person, you know?
Yeah. I love it.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
So there are a couple more questions. If anything, I'm just trying to connect the dots with experiencers. I've had somewhat of a near-death experience myself. Have you ever felt like you did?
No. I've left my body, but I wasn't dead.
Okay, so more of like a out-of-body experience or maybe even...
projection, yes. I've had those. Uh-huh.
You know, I've never had that. My father, at the very least, he says that he lucid dreams. But sometimes I wonder when he's telling me that if he means astral traveling, because it is slightly different.
It is different.
So if you care to share, like, what did you experience when you were out of body or when you were astrally projecting?
Well, it's happened several times. I'll tell you about two of the times.
Mm-hmm.
Three of the times. Well, one time it was very quick. I was in the shower. There's something about being in the shower and having warm water on your head. And I have a newsletter called planetsev.com, and it comes out every month, and I write all kinds of articles, UFO and spiritual stuff in there. And I wrote an article about your shower when there's warm water hitting the top of your head is really a great place to go into a meditation and to do astral travel right there. It's really it's nice. You're warm. You close your eyes. You can feel the water. It's really easy just to focus your attention someplace else. So I was washing my hair, and the next thing I know, I am looking at myself from the ceiling, from the corner, watching me wash my hair. And it's really, really vibrant. It's more vibrant than super duper HD. I mean, it's so vibrant. And then I pop back into my body. And I was like, what the heck was that? So I was washing my hair, but my consciousness was outside of me. Does that make me a zombie? Like, what was that? And then another time when I was meditating, this happened, I had two very interesting astral travels when I was meditating. It's really, I do suggest meditation if you want to practice astral travel. And I do help people get to that state on my YouTube channel, which I can talk about later. So I was in a meditation on my couch. I had my eyes closed. And so I can see, you know, right here in your third eye, you have like this movie screen. When you close your eyes, you have a movie screen. And all of a sudden, this lady comes. I can see her in my mind's eye. And she says, would you like to follow me? And I said, oh, okay. And this portal opens. And she goes into it, and then I go into it. And the next thing I know, I am at the top, I am at the ceiling of a hospital room. And I'm looking down, and I see my girlfriend and her family, and that was her mother. And she gets back into her body in the bed. And I'm like, oh my gosh, my friend, let's say her, I don't want to say her name, but let's say her name is Sharon. Sharon's mother just died. And so I come back to the couch, my eyes pop open. I'm like, oh my gosh, Sharon's mother just died. 10 minutes later, my friend called me and she said, my mom just passed away. And I didn't say anything to her at the time. I waited. And then when I told her what happened, she said that actually gave her peace, because to her, she interpreted that as her mother leaving her body so that she didn't have to feel the pain that they thought she was feeling. So that made her feel better. While I had never met her mother before, ever. Why she came and got me, I don't know. Maybe because I was just easily accessible. Wow. Maybe she just wanted her kids to know that she wasn't feeling the pain. She was already gone. Hmm. Yeah.
So I know a lot of experiencers, they seem to, like, after contact starts, to become more of the clairvoyant and, you know, empathic. Do you feel like you were clairvoyant before? I mean, I guess, when did you start to realize that you could kind of pick up on other people's energies or things along those?
Ever since I can remember.
Mm.
And so I think I was having ET contact before the age of 10. I just don't have a conscious memory of it. Mm. And so, like we were saying earlier, what came first, the chicken or the egg? And was I able to travel through the dimensions and play in that, what I call the playground of consciousness, where all beings are, as a young, as a little, tiny, tiny little girl, and that's where I met them, and that's where our relationship strengthened? Or is it vice versa? Did they help me strengthen my psi abilities? I don't know. I think one reason my psi abilities were strengthened was because when I came to the Washington, D.C. area, I was about 7 years old, and I didn't know English. So I started first grade not knowing English. And because of that, I was really plugged in. I was clued in to people's nonverbal movements. I could pick up what they were thinking and what they were saying because I was trying to find a way to understand what was happening because I didn't know the language. So that could be another reason too why maybe my psi abilities were strengthened.
Yeah, I've talked about it briefly, but the only one I really feel strong about that I do have is just being empathic. You know, and I always kind of interpreted that as, you know, I grew up in Detroit, you know, so you kind of had to like be able to feed off people's energies, especially men, you know what I mean, if it was dangerous. But yeah, with women specifically, I'm not sure why, it just seems to be a lot stronger. You know, nothing to do with like romance, but just like, just kind of what their energy. I grew up with four sisters, no brothers. I don't know, maybe I could just pick up on feminine energy a little bit better and maybe what their intentions are, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and maybe we don't have as many walls up. Men have a lot of walls up. Oh, we all have walls up to some extent, but men have, I think, a lot of walls up.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
So it can be harder to read someone's heart when it's like encased in concrete.
That's a good way to put it. I did have a couple more questions. I thought we would wrap up here in about 15 minutes or so. So when you were younger, do you ever feel like some of what you were seeing, maybe even perhaps when you were seeing the beings themselves, that they were screen images? Do you feel like they ever showed you something that you would be comfortable seeing instead of what they actually were?
Yeah, it's very possible. It's very possible. So my memories are of that humanoid type of being. Then I have the grays, and they look like the traditional grays, tall, medium, and short that I've seen. Then I've seen these light beings, these beautiful, beautiful light beings that came into my living room in the middle of the day when I was wide awake. And I put together a graphic to try and draw them. They're very hard to draw because they were just like these undulating ribbons of kaleidoscope of light. They were incredible. Blues and a little bit of green, and they were very, very loving. And they gave me information about our DNA, activating our DNA, and they also gave me information about Tesla, Tchaikovsky, and Disney, which I found very important, because those are three men I've always loved my whole entire life. And they told me that Disney and Tesla met, and they also told me all three of those men were plugged in and they were channeling. And they told me that when you listen to Tchaikovsky music, it's a DNA activator because of its frequency and its patterns. It helps you activate your DNA and also helps you align with your purpose. And so it is no accident that one of Disney's biggest hits is Fantasia, which is filled with Tchaikovsky music. And that's one of my favorite cartoons, if you call it a cartoon, ever since I was a little girl. So when you watch Fantasia, it's not really a cartoon, it's an activator. It's a DNA activator.
That's interesting. My sisters and I probably watched that at least a half a dozen times.
That's
one of our favorite movies.
Well, now watch it again as an adult and like feel that energy. It's really extraordinary work of art.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So do you mind if we talk about ascension for a minute? How do you feel about ascension?
Well, what do you mean by that?
I mean, just, I guess, the shift in consciousness that we as humanity, Homo sapiens sapiens, seem to be making, say, in the last even 10 years compared to the last 10 years. I mean, do you feel like things are starting to change a little bit?
Yes, very much so. That's why we have this turmoil right now, because we've gotten to the point where we're transforming. And in order to do that, we have to see the ugly. and we're seeing the ugly, and there's a lot of ugly, but it, we have to see it. It has to vomit. We have to see it. And that's what's happening. We have to purge. So ascension, I don't really care for that word, because to me, it connotes going higher. And I don't know if we're going higher. We're just expanding our consciousness and our awareness. And so we're plugging into the higher dimensions to gather information. I don't know if that's ascension or not, but I know that that is the common term. And so the ETs are part of that ascension. So they can't do a mass landing right now because it wouldn't work. So what they're doing is they are appearing to individuals, because it's through the individual transformation that we shall have a collective transformation. That's what's happening. That's why each and every single solitary person matters, that we do our work, that we try to vibrate at a higher frequency, that we try to express love as much as we can. It starts expressing love to yourself first, which we have a really hard time doing that. And so it's through the individual's journey, spiritual journey, that we're then going to be able to collectively transform in the direction that we want to. So it starts with the individual.
Well said. Yeah, I even in every description of every episode, it says something along the lines of, you know, don't be afraid to express love, to receive love, and try to do your best to tell the people in your life that you love them, you know, because we're not here for long, you know. So here's another question I've been asking some of our guests. Do you have any memory of your most recent contact? Because mine, I mean, as far as like outside of owls, it wasn't, I mean, that was nearly 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Yes. So lately, yeah, I recently had this geometric shape burned into my thigh. That coincided with an orange orb that I saw outside. And I think that was maybe a year ago. But the thing is, I can feel like there's a connection all the time. Like I can feel an energy of beings being around all the time. For experiencers who make contact again and again and again, it's not so much a 3D contact. Eventually it becomes more of this consciousness contact, a contact that's happening, if you could call it, in your mind, in your third eye, in your heart, through the dimensions. That's what happens usually. It shifts from a physical event to more of this supernatural type of multi-dimensional information gathering. Did that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've heard a lot of experiencers say that they feel like, more often than not, say in the last 10 years, again, not to keep overusing the last decade, but it almost seemed to shift to more contact through consciousness instead of physical contact. Would you agree with that?
Yes, that's what I was trying to say. Absolutely. Because there really is, a lot of people think that you make contact by camping, or you're driving down a lonely highway and something happens, or you're out in the woods. But more and more and more, the contact is happening through our consciousness.
Yeah,
and that's why it's hard. I'm sorry to cut you off, but that's why it's hard to believe. Because of that, it feels dreamy. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel real. Yeah. And so we've been conditioned to call, you know, that kind of weird experience a dream or imagination or something that we just made up, but it's real. It's real. I know it's real because two red X's were put on me. So those are real experiences. They might feel kind of hazy and not real, but that's because they're happening in other dimensions. And this brain isn't used to dealing with those other dimensions. As a society, we're not teaching one another to plug into the multi-dimensions. Well, many of us don't know we can do that. I met someone yesterday that actually didn't know what a third eye is.
Oh, wow.
And I was so stunned. Of course, I didn't show my how stunned I was, to be polite, but I just couldn't believe that in this day and age, someone had never even heard of the term third eye. Mm-hmm. And so that was a little bit of a wake-up call for me. I'm like, oh, there's still a lot of people who just they don't know. And that's okay. That's okay. That's why you do what you do. That's why I do what I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just to briefly touch on what you were speaking of earlier, that's exactly how I interpreted all of mine as dreams, you know? But then I brought on a guest, and before we went live, I kind of ran it past her, and she's like, well, if you were 5-6 years old and you perceive that as a dream, why would you remember it at 37?
That's
if it
right.
was just a dream? You know what I mean?
Yep. That's one of the signs. Because your normal dream when you were 6, you don't remember. We don't remember normal little dreams. But if it's something that you can't shake, and every time you think about it, there's emotion that goes along with it. Mm. Yeah, that's a real experience.
Yeah. So I think we're coming towards the end here. So for our younger listeners or people who've just never tried to meditate, how would you recommend someone who's brand new, just kind of like the basics to have a successful meditation?
Oh, that's a good question. Okay, the first thing is the point of meditating is not to make your mind blank. So when I meditate, I do not want my mind blank. I'm trying to get some interesting information. So let's just try and forget about making your mind blank. I think that I don't know who invented that. I don't know who said that, but that's really turned a lot of people off. And on my YouTube channel, Alien Spirit with Sev, I created these 3 videos that I talk about how to raise your frequency. And then at the end of the videos, I created guided meditations with my voice and also with high frequency music. And with each one, I guide you to a place where you make contact with a spirit guide, a dead person, an ET, whatever you want. So I suggest to go and look at those. They're free. Another way to really meditate, easiest way, is just to listen to music without words. I do suggest maybe chakra music if you want to find something that you align with, maybe the heart chakra or the crown chakra, just for 10 or 15 minutes, and just sit in a room and just listen to the music and let that energy just move through you. That is a really easy way to meditate.
And then, so other than your website, of course, which, guys, it's going to be links below to the book, the website, the YouTube channel. But as far as MUFON goes, is there any way for our listeners to get a hold of you directly via MUFON?
No, the only way you can really get a hold, yes. I mean, I have SevTalkMUFON@gmail.com. But if you want to tell MUFON about an experience that you had, then you have to go on the MUFON.com and fill out the questionnaire and all that kind of stuff. So I can't, it's not like you can say, I want Sev in charge of my case. It doesn't work like that through MUFON. So you go in there and you fill out the questions and then you get assigned somebody. And if you're in North Carolina, you might be assigned me, you might not.
Yep. And if you're someone who's listening who you might have an inclination that you may be an experiencer, Kathleen Martin, Mary Rodwell, I believe it's the same one. If you go to their website, you can fill out a questionnaire on, you know, it's almost like commonalities of your average experiencer.
Yeah, Kathy's also doing a really interesting questionnaire if anybody wants to go on her site, Kathy Martin. And you don't have to be an experiencer to take this questionnaire. And so it's about belief systems, whether you're an experiencer or not. And it's short and it's an important, very important survey. So I suggest people take that.
Absolutely. And I guess this will be my last question. When I first reached out to you about 3 or 4 weeks ago, everything's been happening so fast. It might have even been a little longer ago. You were at a conference in Kentucky or Cincinnati, I believe.
Yes.
Do you have any other upcoming conferences?
I do. That was at the MUFON Symposium where they asked me to give a special 2.5-hour talk about experiencers. And the year before that, they were kind enough to ask me to be the master of ceremonies. Oh, and wow. So I'll be going again in 2024. At the end of this month, I'll be at a conference. I'll be speaking at a conference in Missouri called the XCon. However, I'll be speaking via Zoom. And then I do have other conferences coming up that haven't been confirmed yet. And I also have some TV shows coming up that I can't say exactly which ones yet. One of them is on Gaia TV and another one is on History Channel. The best way to really know what I'm up to and to read the information that I like to share is to go on planetsev.com and then sign up for the newsletter.
Okay, awesome. And guys, all those links are going to be below. Sev, I really, really appreciate your time. And I'm just so excited that I could introduce you to our audience. For those of them who don't already know you, of course.
Oh, thank you. I enjoyed it so much, Jake. Really, this is wonderful. And you're a really good interviewer because you let your guests speak.
Yeah.
You don't interrupt, and that's really cool.
Well, I learned that from Nick. Nick Hunter. Yeah, he's really, really good about that. So, well, I hope you enjoy your night. It was an absolute pleasure to meet you, Sev. And I'll reach back out via Facebook Messenger in the next day or so.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a good night.
Good night.
Bye now.
If you guys enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. It helps a lot. See you next week.
Because this is a shorter episode, I would really, really...
I'ma do this for my hybrids, yeah. From a different world looking to provide us with knowledge, wishing that we all just stop the violence. They try to show us how to build, but we always demolish. Yeah. Listen, I'm here to reach out to ya. You can ask me anything, I'll never lie to ya. If you came in from above, then I'ma ride for ya. If you're only spreading love, then I would die for ya. That's crazy, right? You can call it what you want, but to the weeds, we getting blunt. It isn't time to play around and go to lunch, when the ops can destroy the whole planet in a month. I'm the kind of contact me that'll contact any kind me with a compact beam. Just to see the starship gleam in the middle of the night with my team. If you feel without me, then you might be a hybrid. Bare minimum a contactee. If you know you a hybrid, feel free to come and contact me. Baby, I'm a star seed, here to give you the support that y'all seek. If you know you a hybrid, give me the knowledge that humanity needs. You might be a hybrid, bare minimum a contactee. If you know you a hybrid, feel free to come and contact me. Baby, I'm a star seed, here to give you the support that y'all seek. If you know you a hybrid, give me the knowledge that humanity needs. Try to take a minute to understand where you're finna. When you're living for the love of it, you can love in your spirit. I guess it's only human to sit and stew in your feelings. So I think we need a hybrid to come and show us the healing. Techniques used by the ancient ones through vibration. We can meditate for fun. Who would have thought a couple breaths could replace a gun? Let's get mindful. Let the grace overrun the streets till it reaches every mind that shines like me. I'm living for it, but I swear that I'm dying to see the hybrids coming forth with honesty. To let us know we're not alone in this odyssey. Tell the deep state that I need an apology. For suppressing technology and using taxes as an excuse for robbing me. If it bothers you just like it bothers me, then you might be a hybrid. Bare minimum a contactee. If you know you a hybrid, feel free to come and contact me. Baby, I'm a star seed, here to give you the support that y'all seek. If you know you a hybrid, give me the knowledge that humanity needs. You might be a hybrid, bare minimum a contactee. If you know you a hybrid, feel free to come and contact me. Baby, I'm a star seed, here to give you the support that y'all seek. Same point of view, dialogue.
the knowledge that humanity needs.